like stories. It's a human thing. All people like stories. Even some people that would tell you that they don't like stories, I would pretty much guarantee you that they would like stories. It's a human thing. We just love stories. Now, if we would look at these three stories on the slide, as Christians, they would pretty much have the same content. Would you agree? The human story, God's story, or the Bible's story. They have pretty much the same content. Now, would there be some differences in the story, in a Christian content, with people sitting in a Christian church? Would they be different, or would they be pretty much the same? If you would have to retell any one of these three stories, if you only had 3 seconds, how would you retell any of those three stories? How would you retell the human story in 30 seconds? Or how would you retell God's story? Or how would you retell the Bible's story in 30 seconds? Does anybody want to take a chance? Anybody? Anybody want to take a chance? 30 seconds? Should it go something like, for any of those three? God created everything, heavens and earth, animals, plants, and humans. Then sin entered into the world, and there was a problem. The relationship with God was broken, but luckily he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us so that this relationship can be restored. And now we live as new people and we wait on the second coming of Jesus so we can go to heaven. Was that, I think that was longer than 30 seconds. So. Kind of. Just like my sermons, I normally think I just preach 5 minutes. But anyways. But that would be the content of pretty much any of those three. What would you leave out for the human story? Would you leave anything out? Or would you like all of that in the human story? You see, it's pretty much the same thing, because we cannot retell the human story without telling where it all started. Where people came from. So it's pretty much the same thing. Now, let's just look at the beginning of these stories. Where would they start? How does the human story begin? Help me out. How does the human story begin? Creation. We were created. It's easy. How does the Bible's story begin? With creation. How does the story of God begin? With what we've got. He created. So the human story begins with we were created. God's story begins with he created. And the Bible story is pretty much those two. Come on. God created us. So that's how they began. So let us read about the beginning of this story, or all three stories combined then. Now, we are pretty much going to cover the whole of the Bible today. We're going to start in Genesis 1. We're going to read the full Genesis 1, part of 2, because 2 essentially is also a creation narrative. The only difference would be that Genesis 1 would say that God created humans, male and female, he created them, whereas Genesis 2 would have a little elaboration on how he created the man and how he created the female. Otherwise, both are a creation narrative telling pretty much the same story. So I'll read the full Genesis 1 and then some verses from Genesis 2. And then later on, we will read the very last part of the Bible, Revelation 22, a few verses from that. So this morning, we're going to cover the whole Bible, so it's going to be a long sermon, 4 hours, I don't know. So let's start with Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning. It was the second day. And then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kind. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning. It was the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning. It was the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about it, about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning. It was the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then the few verses from Genesis 2. Verse 4, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and heavens. Verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Later on, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. 24 and 5, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the end of Genesis 2. At the end of creation, God saw that it was very good. Nobody had any problems. They were naked, unafraid, unashamed. The relationship between them and between them and God was perfect. That is where the story begins. And at the time of creation, everything that makes life worthwhile was present. If you look at the aesthetics, everything that is beautiful, sunsets and sunrises and colors, and all of that was there. It was good to look at the plants. The plants were beautiful to look at. They looked like they were good to eat. All the beautiful things in life was present. Creativity was active in the start, at creation. God created something out of nothing. Something beautiful came out of something so chaotic, something rough, produced something beautiful. It was a whole creative process. The relationships were present at the start of when creation happened. And it was good. Relationships between people and nature, and between people and God. It was good. It was perfect. There was no problems. There were a lot of discoveries in the creation process. I mean, Adam and Eve had to name all the animals. So walking in the garden, I haven't seen this animal before. What should we name it? What do you think, Adam? Should we call it a rhino? Yeah. And they kept on discovering all these things. Walking around the garden, I haven't seen this fruit before. Maybe we can eat. We should eat it. It's not in the middle, so yeah, let's try it. They kept on having these discoveries, discovering new things, how things work. Also present at the start in creation, in Genesis 1 and 2, was responsibility. I said all the good things in life was present in Genesis 1 and 2. Responsibility is one of those good things in life. It's actually something we do enjoy. You wouldn't say that when you get up to go to work on a cold winter morning, but we actually enjoy responsibility. And it was present there. God gave Adam and Eve the command to look after earth and to work the earth. What something that was also present was freedom. God gave them freedom to eat pretty much whatever they want, except for one thing. Just one thing. But for everything else, he just allowed them to call it roam free in his garden. Eat what you like. Do as you wish. You can name the animals. The animals you discover, you can name them. You choose that. He gave them freedom. But with part of that freedom, and that's the only way freedom can exist, is within security, within boundaries. So he gave them the security of his garden, the security of boundaries, saying, you can do whatever you want except this one thing, don't eat from that tree. And we love security. We love feeling safe. Bringing up kids, you cannot have them feel safe if they don't have boundaries. That's just the way we are. We need boundaries. We need security to feel safe. And freedom and security goes hand in hand. And they were both there. Something else that was present was rhythm. The rhythm of life. Even a rhythm that would include rest. So work and rest. Day and night. There was rhythm. And we just love rhythm tonight. And then probably one big thing that was present there was the shalom. The peace of God. The peace and goodness of God. It's more than just peace. But it's that peace and goodness of God was present at the start. And looking at all these things, it really seems to be like that was the life in abundance. Because that was what life was created to be. And all of these things were present at the start. Everything that makes life worthwhile was present and functioning well at the time of creation. Now, I'm prepared to wager quite a good lot of money that whatever you love to do, that the core of that thing, that the essence of that thing can be found there on the screen at the start of creation as things were supposed to be. And I will bet good money that whatever you love to do was present there. Take some examples. If you love working in the garden, I mean, that's the most in your face example. If you love working in the garden, they had a ball working in the garden. And you know what made it so nice? There was no weeds. There was no weeds in the garden before sin entered the world. Yeah, there wasn't. So imagine working in your garden and never have to deal with any weeds. Would you like that? Yeah, that would make gardening even more fun. Then everybody would be gardeners. So, but that was there. They were busy working in the garden. If you love to create something out of wood, if you like to carve something out, if you like to work with wood, if you like to be creative, if you like to paint something, creativity was part of creation. It was a huge part of the creational process. So if you love to do creative things, that's where it comes from. It was part of creation. If you love relationships, if you love to spend time with people, to go around visiting people, having tea with people, going out to eat with people, if you love relationships and living in relationships, that's where it all started. And it was all good at the time. There was no bad relationships. So you never had to worry about a relationship with somebody going quite awry at some time. It was all good. So if you love relationships, it was there. If you love to create order out of chaos, you get those people. They would walk into a place of, look at this, bring me some totes, and they just want to create order. And at the end of the day, they would just feel so good. They created order out of the chaos. That was there. If you love feeling safe, that was part of creation. Feeling safe within boundaries, being secure. And even if you just love watching TV, the things that you watch on TV, if you watch National Geographic, you like watching National Geographic because you love watching nature, you like watching discoveries, it's part of creation. Even if you just love watching soap operas, you are watching relationships unfold. That's why you watch it. You want to see how these people's relationships unfold and play out. It's part of creation, relationships. Everything you love to do was present at the start of creation. All the good things. You would be quite surprised if we should start connecting all the dots to find all those things. Think about that one thing that you can do forever. That thing that will make you lose track of time when you are busy with that. You know, oh, I didn't realize the time. Does that one thing fit into the creation story? Was it there? I will bet you it was there. I would bet you it was there. And this is how God's story, how the human story, and how the Bible's story begins. With all these beautiful things in there. With the life in abundance. That's how it begins. Now, where does this story end? Now, I use end cautiously because it will end on earth, but it will continue into eternity in another dimension. But how does this story, the human story, the Bible story, how does it end on earth? And for that, we need to go to the end of the Bible, Revelation 22. And I will read some verses starting from 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need a light, the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Last verse of Revelation 22. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The story ends with the new earth, the new creation. A place and time where everything and everyone would once again be in perfect harmony with God. That's how it ends. Everybody, everything in perfect harmony with God. So if we know how the story start, and we know how the story end, then we know how the story needs to progress, how the story needs to flow to get to that specific ending. Is that not true? If we know how it starts and we know how it ends, then we know what should happen in between. Especially taking into account what happened right after the beginning. The Genesis 3 problem. The prototype temptation that we spoke of 2 weeks ago, and the consequences of that temptation which we spoke of last week. Taking that into account, we know what should happen. And it, after all, it is the conflict that makes every story a worthwhile story. So it follows that life, to get from beginning to end, which we know what it looks like, both of them, it follows that life would entail aspiring to live in the original way. My life would be aimed at reclaiming the original beauty in order for my story and your story to end as it should. So my life would be chasing down a restored relationship with God, because that's the ending. The ending is a restored relationship with God. So my life would then be chasing down that restored relationship. And this is the reason why Jesus came to earth, to help us out. Because this cannot be done on our own. So he said he came to help us restore life, to find life in abundance. His own words. But the problem arises when we entertain the idea that the human story, that God's story, that the Bible story actually starts in Genesis 3. The problem begins when we think our story starts with sin. And a lot of us do. We think that is how our story starts. That's how the human story starts. Then it becomes, we are bad, the world is bad, and everything just gets reduced to a life where we only have to avoid sin or reduce sin in our lives. Because then you will succeed. If your story starts at Genesis 3, if your story starts with sin, then your life's aim should only be to avoid sin and to reduce sin. That should be your life's aim. If your story starts at Genesis 3, if your story starts at sin. And then Jesus only came to earth to pay for sin. So that while I struggle through life and through this world, at least I don't have to worry about my debt with God when I die. And then that's the only purpose of Jesus coming to earth. And then sermons would have a rhythm of, you are bad. Next Sunday, stop being bad. The next Sunday, be less bad. And then the fourth Sunday, we'll start a new series with, you are bad. Stop being bad. Be less bad. And that would be it. And in doing so, we would miss life. We would miss life in God's kingdom. As we find those glimmers of his kingdom on earth already established. Which is something we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that we would find these glimpses of his kingdom as it is in heaven already established on earth. Little glimpses of it. We pray for that. But we will miss it if our story, the human story, starts at Genesis 3. And we would miss living a life of abundance this side of heaven already. But knowing how the story actually starts and knowing how it actually ends, we know that this is not true. We know that this is not true. It doesn't start with sin. It starts with, I've been created in God's image. I've been created in a wonderful way. That's what Scripture says. But something has made me struggle to live in that way. But I do want to live in this way. I do want to live as someone who is made in God's image. I want that original, wonderfully made way back. I want it back. I want to reclaim that. And I will pursue that with every fiber of my being. That is what I will do with my life. I will pursue getting that image of God back. I will pursue that being wonderfully made. I will pursue getting that back. And I will guarantee you that in this effort, you will avoid sin. You will avoid sin. Because what you are pursuing totally excludes sin. If you are pursuing that image of God again, that's excluding all sin. And the beauty of life and the goodness of life as God created it to be at the real beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, didn't include sin in any way. So you would be running huge circles around it without even trying to run around it. The only way then of getting closer to sin would be if we would stop pursuing that original beauty. When we stop pursuing living as God in God's image, stop living as someone fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the only way how we would get closer to sin then. So whenever we actually pursue this and we find ourselves in sin, it means we stopped pursuing this. I stopped pursuing living the way God wanted me to live, reflecting His image. I stopped doing this. That's why I'm going towards sin. But as long as I'm pursuing that, I would avoid sin. By default, you would avoid sin. Example, if you're going to Vancouver, and that's what I try to illustrate with let's start with children's time. When they should only avoid things they don't know what they should try and get. As soon as I told them what they should get, they avoided all the other things. It didn't really work out as well, but they avoided all the dangerous things and the things they could break as soon as they knew what they should get. If you are driving to Vancouver, I bet you would miss Ottawa. Really, you would miss Ottawa. If you just start driving and turn left and right whenever you wish, without aiming for Vancouver, you might just hit Ottawa. Let's take a right here, let's take a left. I don't know where I'm going. You might just get to Ottawa. But if you are going to Vancouver, you won't get to Ottawa. The same with when we've got the actual start of our story with God. When we are pursuing that fearfully wonderfully made in God's image, pursuing how God wants us to live, we will avoid sin. Then we don't need to talk about sin, because we will avoid it. If we are not pursuing living in the image of God, then we do need to talk about, but watch this pitfall, watch that sin, watch this sin, watch that sin, because we are not living according to the will of God. Then we need to better watch out for the sins. But then it doesn't really matter, does it? Because if we are not living the way God wants us to live, then it just means we've excluded Jesus out of all of it. And if you haven't committed your life to Jesus, you can avoid sin all you want. It doesn't matter. Jesus said He came to earth to redeem life so that we can live life in abundance, with all the beauty of the way it was meant to be lived. Far removed from Genesis 3. more like Genesis 1 and 2. May you structure your life according to the real story, with all the facts, according to the real beginning, in which you will pursue the original beauty and goodness of life as God created it to be. And get your story in harmony with the actual ending. Because we've got all the facts. We know how it started. Doesn't mean we need to exclude Genesis 3. It did happen. But for that, Jesus came and said, we can fix that. We can fix that. I'll take that on me, and you just do the will of my Father. That can be fixed. May you structure your life according to the real story and according to the real beginning. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for our scripture with our story, how it all